Welcome to the Invest with Clarity podcast, where you will learn how success in investing, as in life, is the result of absolute clarity. Mark Pearson of Nepsis in Minneapolis, Minnesota, shares his passion for portfolio management and commitment to transparency and communication to allow investors to fully understand what they own and why, bringing them to clarity in their investments. And now, here are your co-hosts, Matt Halloran and Mark Pearson.
Hello and welcome to another Invest with Clarity podcast with Mark Pearson. Today we are going to dive into the future of ETFs. Now, Mark, there's been a lot of stuff in the news lately about ETFs, about fees, about charges, and about just really what ETFs are in general. Where are we going with this puppy today?
Well, obviously there is an immense amount of growth in the ETF market, right? And I figured it would be a good time to talk about what is going on with this market. What some people may not even know that they own an ETF. What is an ETF? An ETF, of course, is an exchange-traded fund, and it's a fund that holds different investments, could hold stocks, could hold bonds, could hold gold, silver, whatever the case may be, and it trades on stock exchange. And one of the big benefits, in my opinion, of the immense growth of the ETF and why I think it's important to talk about today is ETFs are very different than your traditional mutual fund. A traditional mutual fund really is the problem with a mutual fund, as you know, in my opinion, is that, Matt, mutual funds trade only at the end of trading day.
Yes.
So if you buy or sell a mutual fund, the pricing that you get for that fund, for that investment when you put your money in, happens at the end of the day. Well, what happens if you put your order in the morning or at lunchtime and something happens? We obviously live in a very volatile market right now with trade talks and people all worried about the president, what he's going to say next, and slowing economy and recession, this and that. You know, volatility is very prevalent, which volatility, of course, we believe is good. But the reality is, and the fact of the matter is, that mutual funds, a big disadvantage of it is that they don't price until the end of the day.
Okay, hold on. I need to stop you there. Why do they do that? That seems like you're missing out on what the hell?
Well, that's one of the disadvantages of a mutual fund. The growth of the mutual fund over the years was really designed to give people automatic diversification. Notice yes. I don't say asset allocation.
Right.
Give them diversification. And of course, to asset allocate, you got to buy a bunch of mutual funds to asset allocate yourself. But for pure purposes, the mutual fund originally was created to help investors, particularly smaller investors, get instantaneous diversification. If you didn't have a lot of money to start with, you could put your money in a mutual fund and it would give you that automatic diversification because you would own a piece of a company that sat in the fund. And that market grew tremendously, particularly in the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s until the advent of the exchange-traded fund. And now the ETF, exchange-traded fund market, is growing immensely because the big advantage of the exchange-traded fund is you can buy and sell it immediately on a stock exchange and get the price at that moment as opposed to wait until the end of the day.
Hmm.
Now, you already know what rabbit hole I'm going to go down on this one.
It's a deep, deep rabbit hole.
First of all, putting the power of an investor to buy and sell a bucket of investments on a whim, I think is a major mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is one of the reasons why investors continually do not succeed in their investment process. I also believe it is one of the main reasons why we have short-term volatility in certain areas because of the growth of what's called program trading, where algorithms are making the decisions to invest clients' money in certain asset classes based on algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
And the exchange-traded fund enables them to get in and out very quickly. You've already heard of several flash crashes over the years. This is a function of algos going wild and exchange-traded funds moving in and out very quickly. Now, we believe, of course, volatility is good. In fact, it's great. It allows the opportunity to buy more of a great business on sale. But a lot of investors don't understand, Matt, how an exchange-traded fund is structured. what they own in an exchange-traded fund. Let me say this real quick. Most people don't know what they own in a mutual fund and an exchange-traded fund. So you're making decisions to buy something either at the end of the day where you don't know where pricing is going to be, or you're making the decision to buy and sell something on a whim, and you still don't know what you own in those funds, which to me is completely illogical, lacks any sort of common sense, because we live in a world where the marketplace, the experts, the advisors, the research people are trying to put people in boxes. No can do. That's not how you invest.
How can you find out? I mean, the perspective, I don't even know, are there prospectuses on ETFs?
Well, there's lots of information on exchange-traded funds. You can go to different sites like Morningstar.com. You could probably even go to the ETF, the company who owns an ETF, whether it's a Schwab or a Vanguard, whoever it is, iShares. You can go to their website, look up an ETF, and you can look up top 10 holdings. Mm. Usually, though, those are based on the previous quarter. And if you're going to own ETFs, that's fine. But I don't agree with it, but I would encourage you, it's certainly on the equity side, to look at what is owned in those ETFs. I think you'd be surprised how many of them, not index funds, but specific ETFs, how they're loaded with different types of stocks and what percentages are owned. Again, the whole thing here is that there has been an immense amount of growth in the purchase of by investors of exchange traded funds, and that is because of the liquidity, immediate liquidity. Many believe they're less expensive than even mutual funds. They're growing in popularity as a result of recent shifts in the markets and the 2019 Federal Reserve interest rate cut. In fact, you'll get a kick out of this. The ETF market has recently surged to $4 trillion of assets under management following a series of price wars and a new rule passed by the SEC. This is good news for investors, of course, Matt. And I'm reading this from Instapedia, by the way. Mm-hmm. Good news for investors looking to expand their ETF portfolios and suggest there may be further growth ahead. But where exactly is the ETF market headed in the future? And what are the trends investors should look out for? So there are some takeaways. So before I get into that, here's the bottom line. You know that Nepsis is all about investing with clarity. It is all about knowing what you own and why you own it, and the power of knowing what you own and why you own it. Because the more you understand about what you own and why you own it, the more intelligent decisions you can make strategically about the investments in your portfolio as you look to accomplish your long-term goals. When you own a bucket of stuff, right? The problem with that is you don't know what you own, you don't know why, and you don't have necessarily the flexibility you do when you own an individual business in your portfolio.
Okay, I need to ask a couple of points of clarification here. Yep. Now, just said, so let's say three quarters of the way through this next quarter, and I want to know about an ETF. It's going to tell me the top 10 holdings of what happened almost 3 months ago. Is that correct? Now, and it's just the top 10 holdings, and that could change. So I have absolutely no idea, really. Do I know how many holdings there are, or do they only give me the top 10?
Well, no. They'll give you, some will give you more. Some systems, some services will give you more. It depends on the service or whatever that you're using for your ETF. Hmm. So I'm looking up right now if I can give you an example of some of these ETFs. But you know, the problem is that equity managers, right, particular active, and we're talking about things here that are not necessarily related to indexing, right? Indexing is different than purchasing an actively managed portfolio, right? And the problem is that no matter what kind of fund it is, investors are over-diversified and they don't really fundamentally understand what is really going on within the buying and selling of that fund because it's based upon what the money manager wants to do with that particular investment. So I'm trying to find a, you know, they got so many of these funds.
Yeah.
You know, which of course, you know, everyone else is trying to talk about and putting funds out there to manage volatility, to limit volatility. And it's nuts, right? So here's the iShares Automation and Robotics ETF.
Ooh.
Would you like to know about
that? I would. It sounds very interesting to me.
Well, I'm glad you'd like to know about it. This comes from BlackRock. And here's the top holdings. Advantest Corp, 1.31. LaserTech Corp, 1.24. Cloudera, 1.18. Umbrella, 1.01. And of course, this is as of October 4th, 2019.
I'm sorry.
So that could change automatically right off the bat. Those are some top holdings in that.
Did you just say 1 point something?
Yes.
Out of 100%, you just gave me less than 5% of my portfolio.
Oh, are you implying that there may be some over diversification?
That's crazy.
Hi. Well, that's what most people, you know, we do these stress tests, right? We always find that investors are, you know, they have no idea what they own. They are so over diversified in their portfolio. And ETFs are not going to change that.
Huh.
You know, it's not going to change that process. ETFs are similar to a mutual fund to the extent that it is a bucket of diversified investments. But I still go back to the core fundamental baseline of what we think is the most successful way to invest. And that is investing specifically in the businesses that you know what you own and you know why you're owning them. By the way, I'm just going down the BlackRock ETF list. First of all, I need to know how people even know what ETFs to buy because there's like 18,000 of them.
I mean, do you do it by sector? Do you do it because you have a friend of a...
They got them all over international, emerging markets, global.
But, I mean, but the same thing can happen with mutual funds, right? Is this why people just like throw their hands up in the air and say, well, screw it, I'm just going to buy the S&P index?
Yeah, because they don't want to do the work. They don't want to take the time. I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you a great example. I'm learning this right now really tightly. We have this position in a company that hasn't done really well, and it's actually a situation that's pretty unique and interesting. And, you know, I've been involved in owning this business for so many years. I know a lot of the intricate components of it. And as I share this with people, people don't believe me when I tell them what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, do the research, and I'll send them documents, and I'll show them in the documents what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show them what's happening. And they still don't believe me. You know, at the end of the day, what's crazy is people aren't willing to do the work. They're just not willing to do the work. So, you know, this is why people pay us, right? Now, here's what's interesting. I just pulled up, you'll find this very interesting. I just pulled up the iShares S&P 500 Communications Sector ETF.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you undoubtedly know that investors will go and look at historical returns to make their decisions, mm-hmm. right? And here's what is interesting, right, for this. This is the top holdings of this fund. Facebook, Alphabet C, Alphabet A, AT&T, Verizon, Walt Disney, Comcast, Netflix, Charter, and Activision Blizzard. These are the top 10.
Hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
91.78% of the total portfolio is in those 10 names. 16.72% in Facebook. 14.37 in Alphabet Class C. 14.27 in Alphabet A, which basically means you own roughly 28.5% of in your portfolio of Alphabet. AT&T is 10.79, Verizon 9.73, and so on and so on.
Huh.
Here's my point. If you don't know what you own and why you own it, and this fund goes up a lot or goes down a lot, how are you able to make an educated decision about what you should do with your investment? We understand how concentrated this portfolio is.
Hmm.
You can't. This is why we believe that despite the growth of ETFs, there's nothing better than owning the business directly. There's nothing better than having ultimate clarity in understanding the businesses you own and why you own them, right? Mm. And so when you look at the future of ETFs, you know, are there some kinks in there? Yeah, could be. Could be. You know, I think in the this there's a quote here from this piece. I think in the next quote, I think in the next 20 years we're going to see a decline in the expansion of ETFs. Well, why wouldn't we? There's like 80,000 of them now, says David Nadig. I added that last partner. Nadig of ETF.com. But Nadig is quick to point out that this isn't likely to affect the performance of ETFs in general, and that continued growth is still a likely outcome, at least in the immediate future. However, as technology continues to reshape the financial services landscape, the popularity of direct indexing platforms could change how investors view the long term.
Okay, define that direct index investing. Is that just like investing in the S&P?
Yeah, investing in, directly in an index.
Okay.
So here is what I believe is a contributory factor to the problems that we are seeing within the investment world. That in fact, as my head of research just explained to me today, in September, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
In September, we had the largest outflow of equity funds ever.
What?
Ever.
Mm-hmm. Chuck said that?
Yeah, Chuck said that. Amazing, isn't it?
What does that mean, though? What does that mean to you and me? What does that mean to what you do? Well,
that means since the beginning of October, while the markets have rebounded quite a bit, a lot of people are sitting on the sidelines watching.
What?
Here Why? It is. Listen to this.
Okay.
Listen to this. The S&P Fighter Exchange Traded Fund, ticker SPY, was up 18.5% for the year, while the iShares 20-plus year Treasury bond was up 15.6% at the end of July. The bond ETF was leading the stock ETF by about 20% to 8%. Fearing the worst, investors this year have poured. This is out of, by the way, this is out of the Wall Street Journal.
Mm-hmm.
Fearing the worst, investors this year have poured $379 billion into bond funds and yanked $217 billion from equity funds, according to Bank of America Merrill Lynch. In the past week, investors added $11.8 billion to bond funds and pulled $9.8 billion from stocks. Now, I don't know the exact date on this. He had mentioned to me that it was last month. So here is the traditional, typical move of the uneducated, emotional investor. Go buy safe bonds without even understanding what you're doing and why you're doing it, and sell, right? And sell equities, even though you may be selling them at a discount. So, isn't that just dandy?
I just saw an article that came across one of my news feeds that said that because there is so much money being put into bonds, that there's potentially going to be this bond bubble burst. Boy, say that like 10 times fast.
Yeah. Yep. I believe, look, I don't know if we're going to see a bond bubble burst.
Okay. Ooh, you said that. Well,
I'm not in the business in the prognosticating.
Right.
I do believe that bonds are expensive. I do believe they're overvalued. Mm. I do, but bubbles can last a long time.
Yeah.
That's what people have to remember. And getting into the trick of trying to prognosticate, postulate, and speculate about that, to me, is a fool's game. And at the end of the day, you have to look at risk-adjusted return. How much risk am I taking to get the return I'm going to get out of an investment, right? And so, you know, to me, I think that there are better ways to invest your money than owning bonds. Now, does that mean you shouldn't own bonds? No, not at all. We do own bonds. Very limited maturity, short term, to reduce volatility in more conservative portfolios. But we don't own them to make money, Matt. We own them to reduce volatility,
right,
to help people feel better. The reality is that or because they need money short term, right? So their portfolio can't afford the volatility. But if you don't need the volatility, if you don't care about the volatility, then it should create an opportunity for you to take advantage of buying more great businesses on sale.
Hmm.
you know, it's a weird market out there right now. People are scared to death because of all the negative talk.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I got choked up there talking about it. So what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is that there's huge growth in ETF, in the ETF business. It has changed the landscape in how people make investment decisions, in my opinion. I also believe it's gotten people to have more itchy trigger finger, which I do believe does bring greater short-term volatility. However, the remedy to that is knowing what you own and why you own it. The remedy to that is investing with clarity. The remedy of that is understanding the businesses you own and, if desired, why you own them in the first place, and most importantly, sticking to that investment process.
Amen to that, brother.
Thanks, Biggie.
Yeah. All right. Well, goodness gracious, if you don't know somebody who hasn't talked about this over dinner, you're not going out to dinner very often with your friends and family, so you should probably share this with them and have them become enlightened, right? The idea of investing with clarity and having ultimate clarity is truly understanding not just what you own and why you own it, but why potentially you shouldn't own other things, not to go negative there. And if you have not subscribed to the podcast, click that subscribe now button below. That way, every time Mark comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. So for everybody at Nepsis, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
The content discussed is for informational purposes only. It is not a solicitation or recommendation for any securities that may be mentioned herein. Advisory services offered through Nepsis, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor.